AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Hey, there's a little boy right there.
Look at him, he's crazy.
Now, you won't apologize to him?
No.
We cannot make decisions that cost the team.
No.
And then come off the sideline and it's nonchalant.
Damn it.
My bad.
We cannot.
Oh, what's that?
My bad.
What's your bad?
Hey,
my bad.
At least he was in there.
Nope.
Hey.
My bad.
Not eliminated in February.
My bad.
Everything I've done, everything I said,
Liberty,
was just a way to make the time feel faster.
Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports, your My Bad show of record.
I don't want to hear My Bad.
We love My Bads around here. Big, we can't wait to hear from Marcus Johnson coming
right
up in the very next segment,
we
as
had
a matter
the
of fact.
Tournament Awards, as we do every year. We'll do it again next week. The Tournament Awards as the NCAA Tournament rages on. We're running all the games today on the station. The Clippers are off tonight, but we're running that game tomorrow on our sister station.
Just again, I'd like to point out, because you've done it every year, and you're a man who is likely exposed, I don't want to call it an atrocity, but the secret to many listeners, I think this was the worst year that I can remember for Bill Self's toupee in that post-game loss and how he was humiliated. I think there might be a future where you're not talking about that toupee anymore.
Well, you know what?
It looked so bad in that post-game interview.
You know how they say people's pets start to look like them? And if the person's sad, the dog is sad. If the person's happy, the dog is happy.
Sure.
You know, that toupee has been on his head for so long. And been
a lot of sadness.
Protected in the waves of Barbados when he's out there in the tournaments and stuff with the by his hat. That toupee, it's got a mind of its own. And if he's sad, the toupee is sad and disheveled.
Fat Bruce Pearl sweating like crazy on that sideline. Maybe some of his sweat. I don't know what it was, but man, that toupee looked bad. And normally it doesn't.
Hey, Bruce Pearl might have been sweating, but he's sweating bullets of victory.
Darn right he was.
And Self's toupee.
Aaron Kraft was into
it. Was stuck on his head with the glue of failure. Dodgers versus Angels, game two of the Freeway Series is tonight. Dodgers on deck at 6, first pitch at 7:07. Opening day is Thursday versus the D-backs, and we will be broadcasting live with everybody, Rogan and Rondi included, from 9 a.m. to noon from the field like we do every year at Dodger Stadium once we get our credential situation figured out. And Matt, we have
that'll be a fight on Thursday morning.
Petros blew through security. Thursday, we have a week from Thursday.
A
week from opening day. This Thursday's opening day, and a week from opening day, we're back in your neighborhood, right there, Matt, right in the shadow of Los Alamitos and Seal Beach. There.
Alamitos Bay, Long Beach, California, Ballast Point Brewing. It is a wonderful location, plate glass windows.
This would be
stretch
our third,
from one end to the next, our third appearance.
We're
going to
insulate it with egg crates so there's not as bad of an echo.
That's probably not going to happen, but
what are you talking about? I've been working.
I think we'll just
echo. I've been collecting egg crates. Every dozen eggs we buy, I've been saving them, and I'm going to put them up meticulously.
You seen my studio? I haven't seen your studio. Check it out, dude. You go into your Hesher friend's garage, and there's just egg crates stapled to the wall.
When my mom switched
studio
products, they were yellow, and then she switched markets, so then we went to the gray. So that is on Thursday next. We are hitting the road. We'll be at Ballast Point Brewing in Long Beach from 3 to 7. It's time for the final hour fun fact.
It's
only 3 hours.
In effect, it's the hour 3.
Fun fact!
On an Emma Horse Monday, not fun junior, fact, but Leland Stanford Sr. in 1872.
Which was the actual one that built Stanford. Junior died a young, horrible death.
Horrible. But Sr.
No fun to drive on a train,
nope.
Die on a train going cross country while you're driving to your... Well, what you think is your freshman year. You think is your freshman year, but it really is your inevitable death.
Listen, the rails were not safe back then. Now, completely safe.
It was an illness.
Couldn't get into a hospital. It was an illness born by the rail. In 1872, Leland Stanford Sr. made a bet. He was a betting man that at some point in the gallop, All four of a horse's legs are off the ground at the same time. Now, because he was a man of means, he was able to hire Edward Muybridge.
Is that the guy's name from Sports Science?
That is basically. He was a sports science guy who lived from 1830 to 1904. He set up a series of 24 cameras that photographed a racehorse named Sally Gardner and did prove Leland Stanford right. That all four are up at one point in a gallop. And boy, was Stanford. Forgot about the death of his son. He was so excited.
This
about
is great.
That.
I got like, this hey, college.
You know what?
If
this
I won this bet.
Things are changing for me. Really pointing up.
What if he brought, came back to life and be like, where's my Stanford Indians? They're called the Cardinal now. Whatever for.
I want my money back. I want my land back. I want my money back. I said Indians is
we,
a mascot.
We changed the name of the town to your name because we don't like Palo Alto anymore because it's got kind of a hood over on the east side. Is that cool?
Okay, I can look at that.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
All right.
Pretty
quick
cool.
hits, everybody.
The PMS quick hits.
Okay,
so make it
this.
Quick, y'all. Oh, yeah.
Michael Avenatti has made his way to our show. He's been arrested.
What the hell is this? We're not supposed to talk about this.
You know, it's
how does this apply to the Petros and Money show?
Nike.
That's the tie that he was trying to extort Nike?
Well, he was actually went up to Oregon. He was just like, I want all the shoes. But then they monetized it to $20 million. He's accused of attempting to extort over $20 million in payments from Nike by threatening to use his ability to garner publicity on CNN and
me and Lemon, we're taking you down.
Yeah.
You seen my selfies with Lemon? I can do this. Nike, it's a simple check. 20 mil. I'll take it.
He said he was going to inflict substantial financial and reputational harm to the swoosh. Avenatti previously represented Stormy Daniels.
Remember that?
In her lawsuit against Trump. He went after R. Kelly pretty good.
Also represented himself quite a bit.
Yeah. And
making the rounds. Is there another part to this story that Kate's
also
wanted to include?
Also implicated former PMS guest.
There's the tie.
Mark Garagos.
Garagos, we love having you on, but man, can't do it anymore. Not after you tried to extort Nike. You're out, Garagos.
No. Sweet James is our lawyer, and he still has his lawyering license. Wall Street Journal reports a co-conspirator in the Nike extortion scheme is Garagos. He's the guy that went to bat for Michael Jackson, too.
He did. It's been a rough month for Garagos, certainly, back in the day.
Tough for the ghosts, that's what they call them. Matt, the NBA's got much better news.
Clippers riding a wave of winning. They are the hottest team in the NBA right now, having won 10 of 11. They're in the 5 slot, and they continue their 4-game roadie tomorrow in Minnesota, 44-30 with just 8 games to play. But, oh, what a wrinkle in the Western Conference. This Golden State has slipped to the 2 spot now. And Denver is in the number 1, so maybe the 8 seed, not so bad after all.
Oh, wow!
Man, freak out!
Crazy how sports changes!
What about the team you're tied to?
Well, Matt, I was out there and saw him got eliminated. Got eliminated. I didn't know, you know, because when you're not at the game, no one says anything about like, hey, they just got eliminated. Like, you just don't hear that.
You're just busy eating your churro, drinking your beer.
Yeah. Lakers were
man,
off.
These churros are. I know they just lost and they're going to miss the playoffs for the 6th time in a row, but man, this churro is good.
Have you tried these churros? They're amazing. 32-41 are the Lakers, but they won last night, and LeBron said he's not going to. They're efforting wins.
Effort.
And LeBron efforting. Still has effort. He's not going to cheat those basketball
exactly what
gods.
He said.
He said it was actually the basketball gods that blew him in to play defense and not Kuzma that pushed him that one time.
I believe him.
And it was the basketball gods whose hand came down and batted that ball and not the backboard when he was trying to throw in that. You gotta have effort.
Yeah, I would never cheat myself. At the end of the day, no matter, we know we're out the playoff race, but if I'm on the court, I'm gonna play the how I play, and I play to win. So I never would cheat the game. You know, it's such thing as called game gods, and they're watching no matter what you're doing, and it's our obligation to go out and be a professional, and that's what I'm about.
I must have really pissed them off when I was a kid. Because they never showed up at any of my games.
I think he pissed. LeBron's might, you know, I think he's gone back and forth with the game gods in his career. The end of the big baller brand is Element.
Who could have seen that? Who could have seen that?
What do you mean? Lonzo Ball's hinting he's leaving his dad's company. LaMelo Ball, the youngest of the three brothers, also commented
on
Lonzo's.
Good looking out, big brother G.
That's not how he sounds. LaMelo commented on Lonzo's Instagram post saying, love you, brother.
Love you, bro.
Thanks for getting us out, my G.
Who could have seen that coming? I'll say it again, P. Lonzo Ball, apparently best friend of his old man, siphons $1.5 million out of Lonzo's personal account. Big baller brand, BBB, F rating.
We have
unfulfilled
those
orders.
We have a shirt that Kates gave away. Now we could have, would have been a collector's item. Thanks a lot, Kates.
But hey.
That would have been like having a Big Johnson shirt or something now.
As we mentioned earlier in the top story of the day, Lonzo's his own man now. And he's helping out his little brother. He's helping him get out of that mess, that web that LaVar Ball created, which is why, again, LaMelo said, thanks for getting us out, G.
My G.
My G. Not my G, his G.
No, he's not your G. Matt, the owners' meetings are happening in Arizona. We didn't send anybody. They approved the Raiders' lease to play in Oakland in 2019. Great! And they announced that the opening game of the 100th season will be Packers at Bears, of course, very appropriate, in Chicago. Super Bowl champion usually hosts that game, but the Patriots will instead host the first Sunday night football game of the season. And we had a big retiring, too.
Big retirement for Rob Gronkowski. He announced on his own Instagram feed that he has retired.
Like to see it. Like to see him hanging it up right now.
His agent, no surprise, says, let's not get crazy. He could come back.
I'd like some more money.
I think if Tom called him in the middle of the season and Rob kept himself in shape, he would be open to that. He's only 29. He's 29 with the body of a 60-year-old.
Yeah, he's got his ass kicked. I mean, he had injury problems in Arizona, for God's sakes.
That's
why he fell in the draft, because of a brachiotomy.
Exactly right. Why he was the 49th pick instead of the 14th pick, because there were medicals that didn't clear him back in the day.
Now, Matt, we've been talking about it all day. Kenta Maeda on the mound for the Dodgers tonight. The Angels have Justin Upton with a sprained big toe.
I did that yesterday. Oh, boy.
That's terrible.
Questionable for the start of the season because of the freeway series. Nobody likes to see that. And one quick thing, P, on the NFL. The Broncos submitted the alliance approach to the onside try as opposed to the onside kick.
4th and 15.
7-1, the competition committee approved, so it will now go to a vote to the owners.
I don't like
the onside
that.
Kicks don't work with the new kickoff rules. You
I know,
can't recover the ball.
But 4th and 15 seems too easy. Too
From
easy.
From the 35.
Too easy.
You can only do it once.
I
once
know.
Once only in the fourth quarter.
Too easy.
Yeah, I guess they got to find like a happy medium.
Way too easy.
So what do you want? 4th and 30?
I don't know.
4th and 40?
Game over. Sorry, guys. Game over.
Can't have game over.
Nice try on the comeback, fellas.
I need some drama.
And then break out the onside kick. It's the only thing we really know how to do. 4th and 15. That's too easy. What if you got Odell Beckham out there? One on one.
Go get it.
Jeez. Run a draw. And now it's time. We got to give away those Dodger tickets for opening day. Give us a call.
Caller 22-866-987-2570. It's that simple. Be the correct caller. The Dodger tickets are yours for opening day Thursday, a 1:10 start against the Diamondbacks. Caller 22-866-987-2570 wins instantly, and you'll be at opening day.
We'll be right back with Marcus Johnson in the very next segment. Some NBA talk as we head toward the freeway series that Justin Upton will not be playing in because of the sprained toe. That we just gave you that information in the quick hits because we're an informational show.
Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports. We're going to game two of the freeway series tonight as we are your home of the Dodgers. Season starts on Thursday. That means opening day just after 1 o'clock. We'll be on the field from 9 until noon with Fred and Rodney at Dodger Stadium. But today it is freeway series. Dodgers v. Angels, 6 p.m. Dodgers on deck. First pitch at 7:07, and we still got a little bit of NBA basketball left, P. The Clips are off tonight, but they'll play in Minnesota tomorrow.
That's right. A lot of the Clipper games, now that the Dodgers are starting out this week, will be on AM 1150. You can always check with us with what's going on. And speaking of the Clippers and the NBA and UCLA, which is in the news with the coaching search, let's take it to Crenshaw High School for one of their biggest stars ever, Marcus Johnson, an old friend of the show. UCLA great is number 54, is retired at Poly Pavilion, and just this past weekend in Milwaukee, the five-time All-Star and NBA greats number 8 was retired for the cheese-eating people of Wisconsin.
They're good people.
They are great. My first trip to Wisconsin this year, Matt. You told me it was going to be great.
And?
It did not disappoint.
That's a good bunch of people out there.
Other than a way too long stint at the Madison Airport because of a bad booking. But this is about celebrating Marcus.
Wisconsin.
We're going to celebrate Marcus. We're going to find out about UCLA and the Lakers. Maybe the Greek Freak. It is our friend Marcus Johnson on the Petros and Money Show on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline today on this I'm a Horse Monday. What's cracking, Marcus? How are you?
I am doing wonderful, man. It was a great weekend. I had my jersey, number 8, hoisted to the rafters yesterday. And, you know, the players were there watching, and Giannis was there and said some really great things. Kevin Love came up to me afterwards and just really said some real positive, glowing type stuff. So it was just, you know, Pete, just one of those weekends, man, where you feel like, you know, you've died and gone to heaven. But my high school coach, Willie West, came out from Crenshaw High School.
Cool.
And the current coach, Ed Waters, at Crenshaw High School, my best friend since the 7th grade. We played together at Crenshaw. He's the son of Congresswoman Maxine Waters. He was there, and just a whole bunch of other, Sidney Moncrief Jr., Benjamin Bob Lanier, Lloyd Walton, my former teammates were all there to support. So I'm just really appreciative of this Milwaukee Buck organization for, you know, bestowing upon me the greatest honor that a player can get from his franchise, and that's to retire that jersey.
I know it's kind of a generic and lazy question, but when that thing's going up, what are you thinking? Are you thinking of highlights? Are you thinking of your first year there? Like, what is it that you're kind of taking in that moment when you see that thing unveiled in the rafters?
Well, that's when it really becomes a reality. I've known about this for a year now. The president, Peter Fagan, had told me last March. We were talking about a new contract and starting the negotiations. And he's like, first things first, your jersey's going up. You'll be the first one to go up in the new arena. I just want to get that out of the way. And so I thought he was trying to get some leverage on me, so I didn't want to get too emotional at that point, you know. But no, but when you see it actually being lifted into the top of the arena, going up slowly, and that's when the emotions just really overcame me, and man, I started bawling like a little baby. Fortunately, I had my 5 sons there. We've got a thing that we do when one of us starts crying in public. We all come up and like put our hands on his head. So they all came up and like started putting their hands on my head and messing up my way, Pete. But it was all worth it though, man. It was good.
You mentioned that Giannis had some nice things to say. His nickname is the Greek Freak, Freak Bean, just one of the great freak athletes that we have not seen currently, but ever seen in this league. How much different? As you watch and you think about your career, is this league now? I mean, you got 2 of them, Eric Bledsoe, another explosive athlete, than what it was when you were playing and playing at a very high level, no less.
Well, we had some great athletes in my day, and I could think of Dr. J, Dominic Wilkins, James Worthy, all these guys, you know, small forwards in that day. They became so good, so big, so athletic that I had to move to the shooting guard. I was talking to Larry Nance Sr. In Cleveland just 3 or 4 days ago about that. But the thing about it is that people like to ask me, well, how does your game compare to Giannis's? I say, well, it compares pretty favorably, except the fact that I'm 6'6", and he's like 7 feet. And he can do everything I can do at 7 feet, except maybe shoot the mid-range jump shot. But other than that, he's doing everything that the great players of my era, Dr. J and Dominique and everybody else did. We were all 6'6", 6'7", 6'8". He's 7 feet doing those kinds of things. So that's the big difference. It's supersized. I mean, these guys are doing, you know, just the spectacular type of movements, but they're 7 feet tall with that kind of grace and mobility and skill development. And so Giannis, 24 years old, just scratching the surface. He's going to be one of the top players in this league for the next 8 to 10 years easily, and it's just been real. And let me say this too, man. And this is, you know, this is with all sincerity. He's one of the coolest dudes to be around. He's not full of himself. He's the kind of guy that puts in more work than anybody. And so, from that standpoint, just to see him elevate his game to superstar elite status has really been a joy for me to watch.
Well, that's because he's Greek. You know, you could tell he looks just like me. You know, he's a great Greek.
Well, there's a little Nigerian sprinkled in there somewhere, man. So. But it's funny, Akeem Olajuwon gave us his last name, Antetokounmpo, means that the crown has returned from overseas. So that was one of the most poetic kind of interpretations of a name that I've ever heard, and it fits him aptly. So we're happy to have him here in Milwaukee.
Olajuwon. It's a Greek last name. now, I'm pretty sure Giannis will be able to put his nipples on the rim at an old age. You're still dunking. Do you think Dr. J and those guys you mentioned, the great athletes of your day, Neek and those guys, can still dunk like you do every year on your birthday?
Yeah, I think Doc recently, at least the last couple of years, I think he got one off in public. I've talked to Dominique about that. He told me, you know, it'll take some warm-up time. And look, you know, for me, it's not like I'm doing it on the first take. That's like the 8th, 9th, 10th take. I'm doing a Tom.
Don't tell people.
I'm doing a Tom Brady Deflategate thing on the basketball to take some air out of that bad boy so I can palm it like I used to do it. So it takes some manipulation. You know what I mean? How we do it in film and movies. You know, we've got to manipulate the elements around us to make it. The basket is pretty much a legitimate height. It might be 9, 11 instead of 10 feet. But the ball is a little bit deflated, but I can still get up there and get that hand into the rim. So that's what I'm happy about. At 63 years old, that's not bad. So
don't
that's
be
all
telling
good.
People that, Marcus. Come on, that basket's 10 foot 6. That basket's an extra pound.
It's the one that Dwight Howard wore the Superman cape.
This is the first year in the East without LeBron James. He has made his way out here to the Lakers. So two-part question. How different has this whole season felt now that it almost appeared from day one, hey, this thing's wide open, pick one of these four or five teams to make it to the NBA Finals? And the second part, how surprised are you that it went so badly in his inaugural season in Los Angeles?
Well, it is wide open, and I say that with this caveat. It's wide open, but there's still Golden State to lose. You know what I mean? They're still, I think, the team, obviously, with DeMarcus Cousins, the five All-Stars. I'm not sure what his injury situation is like, but they're still the favorite with or without him. So that's number one. But LeBron, I was surprised. But then you think about the injury that he suffered, I believe, Christmas Day and missed, I don't know what it was, 18 games. I think when he went down, I believe the Lakers were in the fourth or fifth spot in the Western Conference and looked pretty comfortable to make the playoffs. And then Lonzo Ball goes down in January. And at that point, the Lakers, I believe, were fifth or sixth in defensive rating. They dropped after he went down to one of the bottom teams in the league in terms of defense. You combine all those things, the Anthony Davis trade, people like to get on me about that being a tired narrative. But I think it did impact some of the younger players. And when you hear your name talked about like that, and I think team chemistry kind of suffered. So, but I say that to say that, you know, Jeannie Buss, I saw her in Milwaukee when the Lakers were here recently, and I told her, you know, that I think order's been restored with the Lakers, that she's going to do what she needs to do to in the spirit of Dr. Buss, her dad, of getting this team back on top. And they're not far away from it. You know, a couple of great free agent signings and some acquisitions from around the league. People want to come and still play in Los Angeles. Lakers will be fine. And people, I think, will appreciate once they're back in the playoffs and competing again to be one of the elite teams in the league. I'm not going to say compete for a championship just yet. I got to see what they put together. But they'll be fine. Los Angeles Lakers has been, you know, that kind of an organization ever since I've been little, and they will continue to be.
Well, Marcus is with a great organization, calling games for the Bucks. Obviously a great Buck. They retired his number over the weekend. Marcus Johnson is our guest on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. We're talking basketball, of course. And it's a very interesting time. We just talked about the Lakers situation, but UCLA, I mean, you won the first Wooden Award, and you won a title with John Wooden. The UCLA job is out there. I remember growing up, you called all the college basketball games and anybody was watching on the West Coast a lot of the times with our old friend Steve Fizioc. So yep. What do you think they're going to do with the head coach? I mean, you hear names that are kind of equal with Steve Alford, and then you hear the way bigger names, you know, coming around every once in a while, like Brad Stevens or John Calipari. What do you think they're going
to
do?
Well, I think they've got to go for it, shoot for the moon, and then hopefully if you fall short, you land amongst the stars. That's an old saying, it's trite, but I mean, I would love nothing more than to have a guy the caliber of a John Calipari come in. I'm not sure where that stands. I guess he's denied it, which you would expect at this point in the season. But I think that's the level. And with Bob Myers kind of assisting, former player at the Golden State general manager, kind of helping to navigate the whole process, I have a lot of confidence. I mean, if they went another different direction and hired Earl Watson, who coached shortly in the NBA, but is a guy that has a great knowledge of the game, and that's one of the competitors I've always admired the most, just getting the most out of his skill and playing in the NBA for 12 or 13 years the way he did. I mean, I would be fine with that, actually. And so I'm just comfortable that whoever they choose will be the right fit. I didn't think that Steve Alford was the right fit. It's nothing against Steve, but the Indiana guys, just under Bobby Knight, don't have the kind of reverence for John Wooden and UCLA and the tradition, I think, that you need to really, really maximize what this program is all about. And so hopefully the next person they bring in will. I know Calipari did. He used to call and talk with Coach Wooden all the time. Tony Spino was Coach Wooden's caretaker for 30 years, my former trainer at UCLA. He would tell me years ago how much Calipari would call Coach Wooden. How do I manage an undefeated season? What's the keys? What's the pitfalls to avoid? So I know he respects that UCLA tradition, unlike a lot of coaches who are around today. So whoever they get, I'm comfortable that they will be top-notch and come in and take advantage of what UCLA has to offer.
Ooh, good little nugget there on Coach Cal. Well, a big congratulations. Much deserved, and as you said, I'm sure very emotional and exciting for you. Your number 8 retired in the rafters in Milwaukee. Crenshaw, UCLA, Milwaukee Bucks, just retired his jersey, the 5-time All-Star Marcus Johnson. Great to hear from him again, doing that big work out there for the Bucks broadcast.
Thank you, Marcus.
Man, it's great hearing you guys, and I know you're still doing great work out there, and you're one of my favorite radio shows, favorite radio duos to listen to, and we'll always be. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Bless you, Marcus.
Thank you, Marcus.
And congratulations. All right, Matt, we'll be right back with your Dead and Alive Guy birthday of the day. I have a guy that's alive, but he is very much connected with the dead. Huddle, everybody. What's cracking? And welcome back. The Petros and Money Show is on the air. And, Matt, it is such an exciting time because the Dodgers are taking on the Angels. Game 2 of the Freeway Series tonight. Dodgers on deck with Tim Cates. Does not start properly for us until Thursday.
We're not the preseason types.
Actually, we're not even going to do it Thursday because we're with Rogan and Rodney. Matt's got the dead guy.
Dead guy.
It's way worse than being blind.
It is. Happy would have been 97th. Eileen Cecile Ford, founder of Ford Models, female executive powerhouse maverick that changed the modeling industry forever. Born in Manhattan, raised in Great Neck, Long Island, 3 brothers growing up.
Great while Nick.
She was at Barnard College, she did some modeling herself for the Harry Conover Modeling Agency, one of the first in the United States. She graduated in 43, married Jerry Ford in 44, and just after that, well, he was a Navy man, so he got shipped out to World War II for a couple years. Eileen had to make a living, so in his absence, she became photographer Elliot Clark's secretary, and thanks to her contact with a bunch of models, because she busted her ass and was a grinder, a lot of the bigger names in the modeling profession hired her to become their personal secretary. She charged $75 a month per person. Jerry came back in 46 from the war, saw what Eileen had built, and said, to hell with being their secretary. You're doing all the work. Let's open an agency. She repped superstar model Jean Patchett, who told other models how hard she worked, got an advance, she said, regularly, which other modeling agencies wouldn't give them. They're like, hey, I booked this gig. I'm going to get paid like $2,000. Can you give me the $2,000 ahead? And that's one of the things Ford started. Told all the other models, and next thing you know, Dorian Lee becomes the biggest name in modeling, and Eileen repped her. But the biggest find, P, was Dorian Lee saying, hey, Huntington Hartford, they're messing with my younger sister, 15 years my younger, little Susie Parker. She's only getting $25 an hour. If you'll take her sight unseen, I'll send her over to the office right now. I said, well, Dorian Lee's about 5'4". She's got that brunette, beautiful blue eyes. Let's get her over. Sure. 5'10", bright green eyes, freckles, athletic build, becomes the biggest freaking model, supermodel of the 50s, and that launched the Ford Modeling Agency. She provided hairdressers, dermatologists, diet advice. She allowed models to live with her.
Don't eat.
Well, here's your diet advice. 2 raisins and an almond.
You can stay here if you don't eat.
She
here's a peanut. You guys split it.
For standardized hours and wages, she enforced rules about what models could and could not do, including too much bosom. You don't make my model show too much bosom in that photo. She was an anti-bosom agency.
Just dry hump that guy.
When Dorian Lee retired in her 40s, she convinced the Ford to expand internationally. So they opened a Paris office, then a London. Hamburg followed. She recruited, how about this, in the 60s, fellow Barnard alumna Martha Stewart, who started out modeling, sent her to France to work with Dorian Lee, fell in love with the food, Cordon Bleu, becomes the caterer for all these modeling events as a Cordon Bleu level chef.
That's where she gets
her. That's how she got into
it. That's where she gets her self-righteous attitude.
Started as a freaking model. Smile. Hey, move over there. Shake some smile. Nah, cordon bleu. And now she is what she is. In the 80s, she shifted from, 70s, Jerry Hall, Christy Brinkley, Renee Russo, Kim Basinger, 80s, Cindy Crawford, Christy Turlington. She passed away in 2014 at 19. At how old? 92. Good run.
All right, Matt. Speaking of dead, Ronald Dean McDowell, Matt, 69 years old.
Ah, 69. Ah. Hey, Gronk's retired. Someone's got to do it.
Yeah. No. Nobody has to do it.
69.
Country music star, but he did have the big crossover hit. That hit was dedicated to the man that his life was dedicated to. Turn it up. Day and night. Maybe I'm going to give you a couple guesses to see who he's talking about. You're going to say something snarky like Burt Bacharach. Turn it up.
Till I finally got it right.
Ringo Starr.
Nope.
All right.
And I was determined that I'd wait for the day that I could stand and sing in front of an audience and maybe someone would come up to me and say,
sexual deviant.
You know,
Jerry Lee Lewis.
You sound just like Elvis.
I'm going to go Elvis.
That you got it, man. Although he did recently go on tour with Jerry
there
Lee.
There was a man who gave the world.
McDowell was born near Nashville, served in the Navy for 4 years. Lifelong devoted to hear him sing. Elvis Presley fan. After Elvis died, a simple man, filled with opioids on the toilet in 1977.
Only it had some fiber that day.
Really, just been a little Metamucil would have changed
just
it.
Just a scoop of Metamucil.
Trajectory of music in America.
Changed forever.
Ronald Dean McDowell wrote the obituary tribute song, King Is Gone. Recorded at the independent Scorpion label. Turn it up a little bit.
From a working man to royalty to everlasting.
The song took off and peaked at 13 on Billboard's Hot 100.
The king is gone.
Still performed all over the place where people love Elvis. It was a gold record. 5 million copies sold of this. Horse Pucky.
Prisoners of the moment, I believe.
To date. Well, not really, man. Because McDowell has a career, and I'm not talking about a cheesy career like those guys singing into the iPhone, those Elvis impersonators from that commercial a few months ago. He did all the covers for the biopic of Elvis, the Kurt Russell. That lip syncs, remember that? It came out when you were young.
Honeymoon in Vegas.
Anytime the real Elvis sings in a movie where somebody's trying
this
to.
This guy's singing.
This guy does the voice. He is the go to for Elvis's voice for movies.
That's a pretty good gig.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, Ronnie.
With the very second Tim Cates Dodgers on deck. When do we pick up our sponsor? On Thursday? All right. Tim Cates Dodgers on deck. Coming up next.
We're coming back on tomorrow.